Knowledge is powerful only if it motivates a person to take action and provides a way for them to do something.
Thanks, but I got it from here. The Renee Romes Radio Podcast does more than just simply share knowledge. Host Renee Roman, owner of the popular life-changing You Me Trapeze Yoga, offers up health info that's engaging, inspiring, informative, and actionable, with interviews, how-to info, and insights. You're going to flip, because we're going in with Renee Roman.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of Renee Rome's Radio. Today, I'm here with Mr. Frank Sasso. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks for finally being on the show.
Finally. Well, it's episode number 12.
Yes.
It's like a milestone. It's like a big deal.
Yes, and I've been anticipating this, definitely.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, so I have to say, thank you for meeting with me every time, because every time we've met, it's I've learned something about life, about business, about whether it's like technologically wise.
Really?
So yeah, thank you, honestly.
Well, thank you for being so teachable.
Definitely. So for my users, like, I don't even want to ever say your name. Like, I always just want to say my app developer. So this is like a big deal. So they're actually going to know who this person is behind my app developer.
Why don't you want to say my name?
Because I don't know. I just feel like, in a sense of like, sometimes I give away too much information.
Okay.
And too much information in a sense that it ends up hurting me. So I try to kind of keep things very low key now. It's just something I've learned since like quitting my job.
Okay.
Like, I used to just be an open book and say everything out. And it bit me in the butt. So I'm like, now my app developer. And oh, I know a friend that has a vegan business. And like, I don't say names anymore.
Wow.
I don't say names of companies. I just won't.
I don't know. It sounds like there's some fear in operation there.
No, it's not fear. It's just more so like, I'm just tired of being taken advantage of. And like, you know.
Well, how was mentioning somebody's name who's in business a bad thing?
It's just like, I feel as if something's going to happen and I'm going to be left out. So I guess it is a fearful thing.
But
yeah.
Yeah, you're in fear of losing something.
Yeah.
But you don't even know what you're losing.
But it's just like this feeling I get. So I try to keep things so low key. Like, I used to be an open book and say everything and like what I'm doing. And then like what happened with the one studio that I was at originally, like next thing you know, I was saying everything and now she was like implementing everything I said. I'm like, damn. Like,
but that's not a feeling. Here's the thing. You know the word, you know that song, Feelings, Feelings, Nothing More Than Feelings?
It's no,
an
old song. It's probably older than
okay,
me.
Thanks a lot. Anyway, feelings are not governors. They're not, feelings are indicators. That's all they are. It's to show you that there's something at work that maybe you need to take a look at. That's all a feeling is. I don't have the power to make you feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. You have the power to choose to be affected by what I say to you or what I don't say to you. So if I'm feeling like a little hesitant or I feel maybe a little fearful as to not mention someone's name in business or whatever, and they're on my show, no less, then it's almost like I need to look at why I feel that way. Now that I'm looking at why I feel that way, maybe I'll pray. Maybe I'll say, you know, Lord, show me what I'm afraid of. And then in prayer and meditation and stuff, I'll get this idea that I know is not from me because I don't think this way. So I know it's from God, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll show me, oh, you're afraid of losing this because of this, let's say, in your childhood that never got addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So then we bring all this crap into our adulthood. And we're thinking, oh, it's this, I just don't like to do that. And you never look at it and you never grow as a result. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't do anything in fear. You know what fear stands for, right? False expectations appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid of something that's not even real. It just appears real based on my limited information, limited knowledge, and limited experience.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't acknowledge it as a fear, more so it was just like, I guess from what happened, right, leaving my job, and then I'm so excited, and this whole journey, I'm excited to share everything I know with everybody. Like, I can't wait to do the training. I can't wait to get people in classes.
Yeah.
Like, my heart is like, oh, I'm just so grateful for it. My heart
and you should be excited,
and
you should
it.
Be grateful. Anybody that knows your story and what you've been through, I mean, that's just very, very cool. It's very inspiring, very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
It's very uplifting. So you should share it, and you should be excited to share it.
So from your experience, like, in the industry and, like, from everything.
What industry?
From, like, several industries. You said you were, like, a UFC fighter, and,
right.
like, you worked with Disney, you were doing animation, and,
right.
and like, with faith-based, and you're following for podcasting. Like, I don't even know everything, but you do a ton from the little bit that I do know about you. So it's like, how do you, like, what do? Do you tell all your secrets? Like, you let everything out? Like, how do you?
I don't have any secrets.
So you
I'm
let
a, kind of an open book.
Really?
I mean, my wife and I have a ministry, and we have a board, and it's called A History with God Ministries, and the name of the podcast that we do is the Who's Your Daddy podcast, right? And We're not churchy. We're not religious. We're not, you know, hit you over the head with the Bible. But we do talk about and explain and teach what the Word of God says. And we do it in this very New York kind of way, you know, sort of an attitude, you know, we're just who we are, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's like the core of our identity is that we're the righteousness of God. That comes first. Then it's my wife and I. I love God. I love my wife. I love my fellow man. As far as, you know, what do? That's one thing that we do. We run this ministry. We go to different churches, right? And we preach to the church leadership how to expand their numbers. Mm. Because it's a business. It is a business. It's God's business, you know? He has a big church. So we show them how to share about Jesus, but not in a way where it's like you're condemning somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're telling them all the bad things they do. They know they got problems. You know, that's not my job to tell you you got problems. You know you got problems.
Exactly.
I have a solution to your problems. Maybe, you know, if you pursue it, you'll have less problems. I don't know, but you'll definitely won't walk in fear anymore if you get this revelation of what we talk about. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Another thing that I do as a living, you know, people that they're so busy making a living, they have absolutely no time to make a life. So I don't want to say make a living, but stuff that I do where I get paid to do what I do is I have a podcast company called New Pod City. Another one is called Rocket Pig Designs. We design websites. Another one is Porter Dog Apps. We design apps like what we're doing for you guys, mm-hmm. right? Another one is Bella's Books, which is a publishing company. So we publish books, we publish ebooks, we publish regular hardcover books. Another one is Gecko Films, where we do, you know, marketing videos, animation, stuff like that. GeForce Creative, which is our animation studio, which we're working on a series right now. And the last one is Gorilla Boost, which is an SEO company. Search engine optimization, we get your company to be noticed online, like on Google. When someone does a search for, you know, trapeze yoga, mm-hmm. Renee, you pop up. That
yeah, kind of which is so, like the freakiest thing.
Well, it's just, there's a way to do it. It's just, you know, it's all database driven, very, very, very boring stuff. So those are the seven companies I own. Not all my clients use all my services. Some of my clients use all my services. Some of them use just the app. Some of them just use the book stuff. You know, so I have a nice varied clientele. So that's sort of what I do. But leading up to this point, I used to be an animator. I worked on Ren and Stimpy. I was the penciler for Stimpy.
That's so
for
cool.
all episodes. And that was during a very dark period of my life.
And you gave Vince like a sketch, right?
I gave Vince a cell, a couple of cells, I think. And he's, you know, it's funny, the way he hired me is because he was looking for an app developer for his stuff. Mm-hmm. And through a friend of ours, a mutual friend, I sent him an email and I mentioned, hey, if you're looking for an app, you know, I could do it. If you, you know, whatever, let me know. And I sent him my website. Well, he looked at my website and saw that I did Ren and Stimpy and that was it.
Yeah.
I think I probably
remember the conversation from Vince.
Could have been the worst app developer, but since I did Ren and Stimpy. No, you're hired. Yeah. You know, so.
Got the job.
So I did that, worked on Disney's Beauty and the Beast. I was actually hired to teach them how to make the 3D ballroom for Beauty and the Beast.
No way!
Yeah, and that was very, very cool.
Have so you been to site. Disney?
Oh, I've been to Disney.
Have you right. seen the new restaurant? I forgot, what is it? Be Our Guest, Beauty and the Beast.
When I went back in the 89, 90 is
when
I
went. Was the last time?
Well, I went to the real Disney. I went to the Disney that people don't even know exist.
And that's Florida?
Like, well, it's in Florida, stages, but or? It's not like Disneyland or Disney World, whatever.
Yeah.
What you go to, that's not Disney.
Really?
That's Disney's thing of letting you think you went to Disney.
Yeah.
If I'll tell you the story one day. Maybe on the 25th episode.
Please. Oh, my God.
I'll tell you the story of my Disney experience.
I'm like a Disney fanatic.
This will soil that
Yeah.
image you have of Disney.
Because I did a little bit of research. What was that gentleman's name that made the Land Before Time? He was an animator as well. And I did some research on it. Don Bluth?
Don Bluth.
Yes.
Yeah, he also did Old Dogs Go to Heaven.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did some research, and turns out Land Before Time, Disney kind of took, this is based off research I found, and it could be completely wrong, that Disney took kind of Land Before Time verbatim and created Lion King.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah. Well, they didn't invent Winnie the Pooh, Snow White, Cinderella. None of that. None of that is Disney. None of that. Mary Poppins, that's not Disney.
Oh,
Disney acquires.
Yeah.
They acquire. The very thing that, see, now I'm going from Disney. The very thing that Walt Disney got screwed with Oswald the Rabbit, his initial creation before Mickey. He got screwed out of copyright and trademark, and someone stole it, and he was crushed. He then did Mickey Mouse, and now if you if you decide you're going to use a Disney character, they are worse than the Mafia, Disney, when they come after you. Wow. At least the Mafia kisses you before they kill you. Disney, they are the worst.
Really?
They are really, really...
I've done some research on the opposite
wild
side.
Animals. They're just here's the difference between a wildebeest and, let's say, dealing with a Disney lawyer. You can, at least with a wildebeest, you can reason with a wildebeest. Mm-hmm. A Disney lawyer, you cannot.
There's no reasoning.
No. They will strike you down.
Wow.
Period.
Have you ever had an experience?
No, but I just came off of, in 2016, I came off of a 25-year gag order. I was not allowed to talk about my experience for 25 years.
Wow. Not even to your wife?
I told my wife.
Okay.
I told some close friends.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
It's 2 years after the gag order. Who cares?
That's insane.
Yeah.
But I'm asking in a sense of, like, have you been to Disney World? Because they created a restaurant called Be Our Guest. And there's two rooms you can go into.
Right.
It's like the West Wing and the other one's a ballroom. And it is stunning. It makes you feel like you're in the movie. It's
I could
very
see
it. Beautiful.
Hey, we went on a Disney cruise in 2016. It was great.
Okay.
The Disney Dream. It was my first cruise. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. It was fantastic. Customer service, they got that down to a science.
Yeah.
It was just great. Anyway, that's the deal with it. So I worked on the backgrounds for Little Mermaid. I worked on the ballroom scene for
so
three.
Cool.
So that's on my website, the schematics of the ballroom scene next to the actual ballroom scene. You can see the schematics that I did. So that was very cool. Did some fighting in UFC. I'm a middleweight in Muay Thai. That's my discipline. Vince actually took one of mine and my wife's classes.
No, he didn't.
And he said the next day, he goes, my shoulders were shot.
I want to take a class. That's awesome.
Yeah, doing hooks. I mean, he goes, we don't hit anything.
Yeah.
But it's all like...
Shadowbox kind of thing?
Well, it's a cardiovascular workout inspired by martial arts, right? But you don't have to be a martial artist to do it, so you don't need any formal training.
Cool.
But we take you through 7 to 8 different styles to music. And my wife and I, like, we wear the same thing. We have gloves on.
That's adorable.
And we do the whole husband-wife thing. We play off each other, and they know we're married, so the class loves that.
Aww.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of soccer moms dig it because it's there. They can get their aggression out, and then they go do their day. But first and foremost, we are Jesus Christ followers, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I quite frankly couldn't care less what anybody thinks of that. If they love it, great. If they don't like that, great. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Because it's changed my life.
And I have to say, like, when I first met you, I didn't see it. Not to make a
really?
Judgment or anything.
That's
not
cool.
I just didn't feel it. Like, I feel like growing up, I feel like so many people, like, I've had a bad experience in a church. I used to be head of a ministry for a youth ministry, and I had the kids going places, doing things outside the church.
Uh-huh.
And it was a horrible experience, so much so that I didn't even want to return to church. You know, and it sucked, but I maintain the relationship with the kids, and now they have jobs. They use me as a reference for their jobs
Amen.
In college.
Good.
It's really
Amen.
Beautiful. So I'm blessed to be a part of their family.
That's fantastic.
But it's like... It gets me distance away from faith because I want to go into a church. I want to feel open arms. And when I walked into this church, I was a godmother to my friend's daughter in this church, and the priest couldn't even look at me. If that was not the most awkward thing, I don't know what
church?
Was. Yeah, I was Catholic.
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. Okay.
But he's so unkind, and I'm like, how can a priest be so unkind? And you're not inviting. But, like, I have to say with you, I was a bit shocked, you know, because you just talk about faith. And I was listening to a couple of your podcasts about how faith has changed your life immensely. And
you've listened to a few episodes.
A few of them,
really?
Yeah. YouTube channel.
Who's your daddy? Or?
I don't know if it was. I was just going through stuff. Like, I Googled you. I did as much as research as I could within the little bit of time that I had. I watched YouTube. I think it was where you interviewed yourself. Or there was another one with you and your wife. And I think it was another one with you and another gentleman.
Okay.
And then the last time that we were talking, you briefly, we were just saying, like, Jesus is cool. Like, Jesus is not what they, like, depict him to be in this image that they created.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to know more about cool Jesus.
Well, the world didn't have a problem with Jesus. There were the only people that had a problem with him were the religious people.
Mm.
The Pharisees. They're the only ones that didn't like him.
Mm.
Everyone else didn't have a problem with him. They liked him. He was just cool. And you know what? Nowhere in the Bible did it say Jesus was, like, a nice guy. He wasn't.
Mm.
A lot of the times he was very sarcastic. A lot of the times he was very in your face, very challenging, very loving, but nobody did say, oh, he was a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
No, he got in your face and he would challenge you.
See, as a Catholic, like, I went to Catholic school, I, like, for you just saying that, I'm like, wait, what? You're, like, tarnishing the whole vision that I had created in Catholic school.
Well, read the Bible.
Yeah.
Notice there's no Bibles in the Catholic Church. They don't want you reading that.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll read what they want you to hear.
Yeah, that's true.
But I said, wait a minute. And then my wife and I got to the realization, we were like, wait a minute, Jesus died actually for me, in my place.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one who should have died, and he died So why does that now make me in good with God? Because he was without sin and he paid the price of sin. So someone who was innocent, it's like I take a credit card of yours and I pay the bill for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't deserve that. You, as far as the relationship between you and the credit card company, you have a contract with that company that you will pay that bill either in full or make on-time monthly payments. And if you don't, now you're in breach of that contract and they can come after you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say they see you for like $12,000, you know, whatever, right? And someone comes along and I write a check and I pay that bill for you. How grateful are you going to be?
Yeah. Oh,
right?
My God.
Like, oh my God, Frank didn't have to pay that bill. I didn't even deserve him for him to do that. And he doesn't even want the money back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how much more did Jesus pay for all your crap? And you know what's so cool? We preach this. We've got thrown out of two churches. We were in this one church for 7 years. We would want the
diaconate board. Is this in New York?
No, right here in Jersey.
Wow.
2011, we got kicked out. They told us, don't come back. They told us, get out.
Like at the end of it or like in the middle or?
After 7 years, they just said, listen, don't come back here. Do me a favor, don't come back. Like, we were close with a lot of the leadership. The pastor alone, we were very close. We went to Peru together.
Wow.
We did missions. I mean, we were all over. And then after that, we went to another church, and we were making relationships there. And I sat down with the pastor, because I'm an open book. I'm not leaving any information out. I sat with the pastor. I coffee with him. I said, look, I just want to let you know, we got kicked out of our last church. And he's like, why? I'm like, because we believe what the Bible says. It says that you don't have to be sick. Yeah. Jesus already healed you. You don't have to deal with sickness. I don't get sick.
Wow.
I don't tolerate it. You know why? It's beneath who I am. I'm the righteousness of God.
Oh, I love you.
I don't get sick.
Ooh.
I don't tolerate sick. My wife doesn't get sick. So we tell people, we lay hands on people and they recover.
Really?
Because that's what the Bible says to do.
Oh, you are so much cooler than I thought.
It's they lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I guarantee you, I'll tell you what. If you have something wrong in your body and my wife prays for you and puts her hand on you, you don't ask for it if you don't want it. Because you're going to get healed.
Really?
Yeah, because I've seen it happen.
Wow.
Quick story. My buddy Mike. I go into the gym one day. Now, we weren't like really close yet. He was hiring me to do something with his music. He said, hey, Frank, can you do like a website and get me on Spotify and blah, blah. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do all that. So he gives me some of his music. We start doing this thing together. And I come in one day, and he looks like he just lost his best friend. And I'm like, Mike, what's the matter? He's like, oh, yeah, gotta talk to you. I'm like, what's the matter? Yeah, I went to the doctor, and, you know, they found this thing on my heart. And I'm going to have to put this on the back burner for now. I gotta take care of this. And I'm like, is that it? He's like, is that it? Yeah, that's it. What do you want? I'm like, oh, I thought there was something. I thought there was something big. Are you serious? And he's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, is that the only problem or is there something else? He's like, no, that's it. I said, let's go see my wife. Now, we were in the gym. It was right before our class. Right before the class. We go up to my wife. I said, Chris, I said, doctor says that he has some whatever on his heart. And she's like, really? I said, yeah. I said, can we just pray for him real quick? She has a healing anointing.
Wow.
I'm not saying any Christian doesn't have that. I'm just saying it with her, it's just a little bit more amped because she totally is sold. She believes it. She just totally believes it. She lays hands on his heart. She commands that thing to go in Jesus' name. And he's like, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. He's a Jewish guy. He's not even a believer.
Wow.
Okay. A couple weeks go by. I don't see Mike. I'm like, it's Mike. Right, whatever. Yeah, what am I? I'm not going to lose sleep over it. We prayed. We did our thing. Our hands are clean, right?
Yeah.
I walk into the gym. I see him. He's like, Frank, come here. He's all excited. He's like, has like a glow to him. He's sitting down. I'm like, dude, what? I gotta go to class, man. Now at this point, I kind of forgot that whatever. I'm doing my thing, right?
It happened.
I'm going to class. Life. I gotta get into class. I don't have time to talk to you, you know. So I'm very blunt. I'm just am. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be. I just am. Anyway, so Mike says, because you don't understand something. I went to the doctor. He said, I spent hours there. They can't find that thing. They can't find it. They did tests, MRIs, CAT scans, x-rays. They can't find it. They were getting upset that they couldn't find this mess.
Wow.
And so and this is Mike telling me. And Mike goes, he goes, dude, I was getting mad at them for being upset that they couldn't find it. That was Mike. Mike is totally healed. And he just released his first new album that we produced for him at New Pot City that will now be available online on iTunes, on Spotify, on all iHeartRadio, on all those directories, and he's all set to start playing live gigs now.
That's exciting. Oh my God.
That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Jesus is cool, man. I don't care who has to say what to me about, I went to a city council meeting one day. One of the council people, Manny Segura. See, I'm not afraid of saying his name. I couldn't care less. Mm. Manny Segura. He comes in. I'm sitting with a reporter, L.A. Parker from the Trentonian. L.A. Parker is one of the reporters. And I'm sitting, and there's a whole bunch of people. And he walks in, and he goes, "Hey, Frank Sasso." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, you're the Jesus freak, right?" And everyone laughs. And I went, "Yeah, that's right." I said, "What kind of freak are you?"
I don't know. You
said silence. L.A. Parker went, "Oh, that's great." He starts writing it down, and everyone went, and he's like, he feels like an idiot. "Listen, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. You want to see if I'm for real? Really?
Wow.
My big brother is Jesus. You're going to mess with me?"
Oh, my God.
It's like the kid being bullied in school, and then, like, his big brother shows up, and then all of a sudden the bully's like, "Yeah, what you got to say now, big bully?"
Mm-hmm.
Now the little kid, now he can talk all that trash. He can talk all that smack to the bully. Why? Because his big brother is standing behind him. He's like, "Yo, what you going to do now? What? Let's go. What?" It's the same thing with me. That's why I walk around with such confidence mm-hmm. and such boldness. And people sometimes think I'm a cop because I have a level of authority.
Okay.
I've been given authority in this earth.
Yeah.
So when I walk into a room, when my wife walks into a room, it's like every head turns. Like something just came into this room. And they don't know what it is, but something changed. Right?
That's amazing.
When I walk into a room, I own that room.
I love it.
That's my room. Because when I leave, the remnant and the residue of Holy Spirit that was just, that who's with me, it kind of lingers a little bit. And the environment changes. The atmosphere changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when you were all upset that one time, you called me up. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I don't hang out with losers. I hang out with winners and people that are doing it. Of course you're going to get hit once in a while. You're going to get hit. You got to take it. It's hard. Of course it's hard. If it was easy, everybody would be doing this.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I don't want everybody in their own business.
I wish I recorded that conversation.
Listen, you're recording it now. I don't want everybody in their own business. You know why? Because when I go to a gas station, I don't want to get out of my... I'm glad that guy is pumping my gas. I'm glad he's happy doing that.
Yeah.
I don't need him in his own business. I need you in your own business.
Yeah.
I need Bert in his own... I need Vince in his own business.
Yeah.
Right? I need Deb in her own business with the tea. I need these people in their own business because there's only 2% of people in this country, forget the world, 2% in the country that are making a difference through business ownership, through entrepreneurship. The definition of an entrepreneur is someone who's willing to work 80 hours a week to avoid working 40.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's totally me. I'm highly unemployable.
So how does it work with you? You have 7 different companies. Like, how do you create a balance? Like, what is it? Is your balance like working for one company and then doing something else for the other company? Like, how do you stay tuned in?
I don't work for my companies. I work for people. Mm-hmm. I work for my customers. I work for my clients. And I work for my entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 levels of people that I deal with. So how do I balance it? I'm asked that question a lot. I endeavor to do this. I really do try. I try and do at least once a week where my wife and I go and do something together. Something. I don't always hit it, but once a week, I like to just at least get away from everything and just do something with my wife. We teach a class together. That's fun. I'm not working. Mm-hmm. She's getting paid. I'm not even getting paid, which is fine. We'll go for coffee. We'll go for a drink. We'll go for dinner. We'll go to Philly. We love Philly, right? We'll go do something communal, like with either with the community or with a small group or just with each other. You know, we went to a wedding in Florida in last April, this past April, I should say. So we had some time there, you know. So I always try and focus in on that with my wife. The other thing, more importantly, is every morning, on average, I spend 2 to 3 hours with the Lord. I just hang out with Him for a good 2 to 3 hours because I have so much to do in a day that if I don't pray for at least 2 to 3 hours in a day, I never get anything done.
Like as soon as you wake up kind of thing?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, I used to get up every day at 4 o'clock and I would spend till 7 o'clock just hanging out with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And say, "Lord, what do you want to talk about today? What's on your heart? What would you have me pray about?"
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just start praying. And just, you know, prayer is just another a fancy word for dialogue. I'm just hanging out with my big brother, my best friend.
Wow.
And I love Jesus more than I love my wife.
Wow.
Absolutely. That's why my wife has no problem listening to me when I say, "The Lord just said this to me." Boom. Because she loves Jesus more than she loves me as well. right? So she could be coming down the stairs. If she knows I'm impressed, she won't even say good morning. The house could be on fire. I mean, she knows, and I the same with her. I hate interrupting her if she's with the Lord. I'll always say, are you praying now? Are you going to be reading now? She's like, yeah, I'm going to spend some time with God. And then I leave it alone. I'm not going to get in the middle of that. It's just not cool, I don't think.
Yeah, so how does that work? So do you have like allocated rooms or like sections of the house?
I come downstairs with Zoe and Bella, my two dogs, Jack Russell and a Corn Terrier, and we sit on the couch and they get underneath the blanket on the couch and I just hang out and I put on some music and just like kind of chill and I just start telling the Lord just how grateful I am for just everything he's done for me and everything he continues to do. And I just start spending time, quote unquote, praising him or giving him thanks, because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. So if I need him on the scene, I'm going to start praising him right then and there. Well, how do you feel when everyone is, when people are constantly giving you compliments? Don't you like hanging out with those people?
That's true.
I mean, be honest.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not going to hang out with someone who's constantly insulting me. Oh, I don't want to hang out with that person.
Yeah, right. Very true.
So he's the same way. He's the first commandment. He says, don't honor anybody else but me. I'm number one. Let's get that off the table right now. I'm number one. Okay, now here's the other ones. Here's the other things. But the first three commandments have to do with your relationship with him. From 4 to 10 have to do with your relationships with others.
Mm.
You know, but people don't read about it. They just
think,
oh, so there's a thing of rules. Well, it is. It's Old Testament. We're in the New Testament now. We don't have to worry about that stuff. We're not bound by the law. We're free from the bondage of the law. I mean, we still have the law, but we're free from the bondage of the law. So back to balance. I work an average of about 17, 18 hours a day. That's my average. That's what happens when you're a business owner, when you're an entrepreneur. You're going to work hours like that. And people who have job mentality, not that there's anything wrong with it, people who have jobs, they're not gonna get it. They're not going to understand. You know, my dad to this day is still telling me, hey, maybe you can get a good city job. I'm like, what, like you?
Wow.
You retired after 40 years and then you got a part-time job. If it's so good, you're still, why are you still working?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I do that just to keep busy. I said, don't give me that. You had 40 years to keep busy.
Mm-hmm.
You did that because you're not being paid enough, but you're half pay. Sorry, your pension.
Yeah.
Half pay.
Mm. What was it that you said before? Everyone gets a job. What is that? Just over broke, like you said last time.
Just over broke, mm-hmm. Or jackass of the boss.
I've never heard that one before.
J-O-B. Meaning you're just over being broke. Mm-hmm. You're just a level above that. Why can I say that? Because most people are 90 days away from bankruptcy. Most people are 3 months away from bankruptcy. Jobs don't offer security. Your boss is trying to pay you as little as he can to keep you from not quitting. And mm-hmm. you're trying to make as much as you can, but mm-hmm. you don't want to do as much work to keep from being fired. So you have opposing forces here.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You're never going to make more than the boss. You never will. I can look in the mirror.
When you say that.
Whenever I want to raise, I ask my boss. He's always in a good mood. He's very predictable. He loves me. And I look at my boss in the mirror and I say, can I have a raise? And he always says yes. Always. He's like, how much would you like to make? I'm like, as much as I can. He goes, go ahead. Wow. Thank you very much, boss. I'm in control. God is in charge. I'm in control. God is in charge.
Mm-hmm. So I heard, what was it? I think your podcast, and when you were talking about coming into your faith. No, that was with Vince. And a friend of yours invited you over to the house.
Joe,
and like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's see what happens. How long ago was this?
Oh, that was back in 95.
And that was like you starting your faith again, right? Like,
well, yeah, I didn't have any faith. I mean, my
at
faith
all, was, you even know, when you're younger.
I mean, I believe in God. I definitely believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't where I am now. I mean, now I have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, you know, hoping God didn't see that or strike me down with lightning or any of that stuff. You know, that was the Catholic guilt. It actually makes me dig my heels in even more.
Wow.
My wife is exactly the same way. If you tell us, don't do this, or you're trying to make us feel bad, oh, it's on. Bring it. So I got left back in the fourth grade. I left back in the eighth grade. And then by the time I was a junior in high school, they were going to leave me back again. I said, forget this. I quit.
You quit high school?
I quit high school. Dropped out. Had to get my GED, though. You know what the GED is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to take classes to get the GED. Well, I would cut those classes. I mean, I hated school.
Wow.
I never spent... You know, I spent 5 minutes in college, UCLA, which is the university on the corner of Lexington Avenue, Baruch College. And I was only there to pick up my brother. So I have no college experience. But yet, there's this guy that does a lot of work for me. He has a PhD, and he calls me boss. So, you
wow.
know, education... Oh, you'll never get a good job. I don't want a job. What good is a job if you can lose it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so true.
So I'd rather do this. At least I'm changing people's lives in a small way.
Yeah.
And that's, you can always pay your bills. Go work at McDonald's for 2 days a week and pay your bills with that. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Follow your heart. Pursue your heart, mm-hmm. and the money will come. Don't ever do something just for the money, because then you'll always be chasing the money.
Yeah.
And you'll never catch it. Mm-hmm. Never. I never met one entrepreneur who was able to tell me the day he got rich.
Mm.
It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, I have money. Like, I'm able to pay for things.
Well, look, it here
just,
it is.
You know, it builds, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just do what I do when I do it, and I know it sounds very like, that doesn't sound structured at all. It's not really, it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have many relationships with my clientele and my customers and stuff. I have customers, clientele, and entrepreneurs. Customers are people that, like, you know, they hire me to do a site. Let's say a site or an app, whatever. Mm-hmm. I do the site, and then they make their own updates, and I charge them every month for the hosting and all that, and whatever. Once in a while, we talk, you know, but it's like a kind of like they know what they need to do and they just do it.
Mm-hmm.
My clients are people that pay me every month. Like, I got this client, Steve, right? Steve Jordan, he owns Blooming Grove Inn, which is a restaurant in Ewing, New Jersey. Look it up, bloominggroveinn.com. Great place, very elegant, very nice. And he sends me an email on Mondays for the lunch specials of the week and on Thursdays for the dinner specials of the following week. And I know I'm getting those two emails. I know I'm getting them on Monday and Thursday. I make the changes. I charge his card every month. We talk once in a while. It's very, very nice. He's a client. Then I have people like my entrepreneurs, like you, like Vince, right? Like Bert, like Deb. These are my entrepreneurs. These are people that I grind with, that I actually work on building their business along with them. That's how I kind of, like, you know, work my business structure, if you will. Those are the three types of clients that I have. And this goes for everything I do, like for podcasting, for everything. So I have these two guys in Georgia. I've never even met them. They've been my clients for over 3 years now.
Wow.
Now they're becoming more like entrepreneurs, because now we're developing a TV show together with them in Georgia. I've never even met these
guys. Wow, very cool.
And they talked about me on their website, on their podcast. And they have a pretty explicit podcast. Like, they don't, you know, they're not Christian, they're not, you know, but what's cool, the testament to that is that the influence I have on their life, they know I'm a born-again Christian. They know where I stand, and they actually defended me on their show.
Wow.
Which is like, whoa. You know, like, they got a lot of hate mail after that, and so did I. Say, you call yourself a Christian, how can you back these guys? I'm like, well, that's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Give up on people? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun doing what I do. I feel like I'm dreaming.
Wow.
Like, even now. And so I just feel like, you know, the fact that you're interviewing me on your show,
mm-hmm.
you want to hear what I have to say, is like crazy to me.
Yeah. I feel as if I have to record, like, everything, like, every time we communicate, because it's like there's always some gold coming from you. And
that's,
it's like, oh, it needs to be shared. Like, more people need to hear it.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
But amen. And that's how I know it's the Spirit.
Yeah.
I know it's the Holy Spirit just doing that, because 10 years ago, you wouldn't want to talk to me for 5 seconds.
Really?
Oh.
I know this is before you're with your friend Steve or
friend Joe.
And Joe, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, that was like 20. I'm talking even 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a mess. I was a mess because I didn't know who I was.
Okay.
Right? So let me ask you a question. Everything goes away tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Trapeze, all your clients, podcast, the website gets shut down. You lose a place where you live. You have to move. Your car breaks down. Your bank account is zero. Matter of fact, you owe the bank money. It's a negative. You're overdrawn. Your credit cards are mad. Everything goes away. Everything stops.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm a good human being.
No, don't give me that.
No.
I'm a good human being. Who
I
cares?
Am a good human being.
No, look at me.
I feel like I'm resourceful.
Who is Renee?
Like, I don't even know how to answer that question.
I know. Of course you know.
I don't know how to
Most people
it.
Don't.
I mean, I'm very resourceful. So, I mean, even if things are taken away from me, I believe that I will be happy. Even
Why?
If, because that's just me. Like,
no,
I
no,
make
no,
the
no,
best
no, no,
out
no, no,
no.
Don't give me that. What do you mean that's just you? Why?
That's just the person
Would
I am.
You be happy?
Because I'm happy.
Why?
Because I'm alive and I
no,
have some...
No, forget because.
That's...
No, 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 no. I want you to think. I want you to dig. I like to dig. I want to know, why is it that you will be happy... Other than, because that's just me. No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
I mean, the way I was raised and everything that I've been around, like...
Okay, like...
My life was hard. Like, my parents being divorced and...
Okay.
I had, like, three different people in my life, right? I had my mom, my dad, and my grandma.
Yeah.
And it was always hard to kind of create that balance as a kid.
Who are you?
Like, a freaking warrior.
Who are you?
After everything I've been through.
Who are you? That's... You're telling me about experience. I want to know who you are.
That's just, like, what I was built to be.
Who are you?
I don't know how to answer.
Who is Renee Roman?
I don't know how to answer.
Who is Renee Roman? See, Podcastia, that's what I call the listeners to on any podcast I'm on. Podcastia, you're witnessing something right now. If you were here, you would see that Renee is getting teary-eyed right now. She's getting a little choked up because I think what Renee wants to say is something very profound and prolific and cerebral, and she can't think of it because there's no escaping that question. Ask me who I am.
Who are you?
I'm the righteousness of God. Mm. And nothing can ever change that, and no one can ever touch it. And no matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to me, when God sees me, he sees Jesus himself. Mm. That's kind of a prideful, arrogant, pompous thing to say. Oh, no, it's not. That is probably the ultimate form of humility. Yeah. That I recognize what Jesus did for me, I accept that and I take that on as my identity. Mm. That's why when we say, who's your daddy? Yeah, it's kind of a funny thing. But we really want to know, who is your daddy?
Yeah.
Who do you count on, really? Most people don't see God as father. They don't see him as daddy because they had a bad relationship with their dad.
Yeah, very true.
Right? We have an enemy. He wants to soil that father-daughter, father-son relationship so that you'll never see God as father. Mm. And if you do see him as father, you'll blame him for all your crap you've ever been through. It's not his fault.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's a very clever enemy we have. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to give him the time of day. He's a punk. Mm. The devil's a punk. All right? So for all you religious folk out there, the devil's a punk. And you know what? I'm equal with Jesus. What? Yeah, yeah. I'm equal with Jesus because Jesus said I am, not because Frank says I am. Mm-hmm. So if I lose everything tomorrow, it doesn't matter. I'm the righteousness of God. That's who I am. That's mm-hmm. who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not a warrior. I'm not. I mean, I am, but mm-hmm. that's not my identity. That's something I do. I war. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Something you do is you overcome. You go to war. You're resourceful. Those are just abilities. But the core of Renee, who is Renee? Who is Frank? Who is Christina Sasso? Christina Sasso is the very righteousness of God. Mm. Righteousness, meaning me and God are just like that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do that's going to disappoint him. Even if I willfully violate, even if I willfully hurt somebody, he's not disappointed. Because the blood is bigger than that. Mm. See my point now?
Yeah, I get you.
So when you're in tune with what Jesus did, and you say, yeah, I want some of that. I want all of it, actually.
Yeah.
And heaven declares you righteous when you accept the work he did on that cross was for you. You become the righteousness of God.
Wow.
Now we're talking.
And when did you have that moment? Like, what? It wasn't like an aha moment. It
was 2011.
Like, really? So it was like a moment in time.
I learned about it in 98.
Okay.
All I ever heard was, you're the righteousness of God. Before I even knew what the righteousness of God was, I was being told, you're the righteousness of God. And then my life spiraled out of control in the end of 2009, spiraled out of control. I became five people. I had five different identities. I wasn't like schizophrenic. Mm. I had five different things, and I was barely the husband.
Really?
Barely.
Wow.
Maybe on paper. And then it led to me really contemplating suicide.
No way.
Yeah. It's only about 8 years ago.
Well, I'm happy you're still here.
Well, amen. Me too. But then I got the revelation, and I can cry just thinking about it, because it changed. My life has been totally, totally transformed.
Wow.
That's why I'm on a mission to ask people, who are you?
Ooh.
If you lost everything tomorrow, who are you? And we did a couple podcast episodes about it just recently.
Really?
And we get letters writing back saying, I've been asking this question to people on my job, and no one can answer it, and I had a hard time answering it, and people, I ask people at the gym, who are you? It messes them up. They can't answer it. Yeah. And they get upset.
Wow.
You just got upset.
Yeah.
If you really knew who you were, you wouldn't have gotten teary-eyed. And I know you love your grandmother, and that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you really press in on someone and you say, who are you?
I'm a mother. I'm a cancer survivor. No. That's what you do. That's stuff that you've done. It's your experience. Who are you? Messes them up when they can't answer. And the only people that know who they are as the righteousness of God can say, I'm the righteousness of God. Who are you? You know what I mean?
I love the way you say things.
Well, that's how Jesus kind of talked. Jesus wasn't all like, thou shalt not. That's King James who talked like that. Jesus was like from Brooklyn, you know what I mean? He's like, hey, what are you, stupid? How long do I have to hang out with you?
See, I've never heard of this.
You got to read the Bible. When you read the Bible, really, in a language like the NIV version, it's written in regular words. It's like, oh, that's what that means. You know, Frank, the Bible says we're not promised tomorrow. Yeah, it says that, but you have to know when the Bible's talking to you and when it's not talking to you. The Bible's not talking to the righteousness of God when it says that. It's talking to the people that don't believe in God. It's talking to people that have their own plans. Then James said, hey, don't you realize, you know, tomorrow's not promised to you? Tomorrow's promised to me. If the Lord said in Psalms,
with
a long life I will satisfy you, and yet I'll die tomorrow, well, that's not a long life. Well, that means in heaven. No, it doesn't, because there's no time in heaven. How can something be designated as long, which is a measurement of time and distance, if you're in a place that doesn't have time or distance? Which means, duh, he means on earth. Ah, I got it. Which means I decide when I die. Mm. And guess what? I ain't dying because I have eternal life. I'm just going to move. So I get to decide when I leave this place to go to that place. Why? Because he says, with a long life, I'll satisfy him. Well, I'm 50 years old, and guess what? I ain't satisfied yet. I'm happy, but I'm not content. I'm happy, but I'm not content. I'm not satisfied yet. And that's right out of the Bible.
Wow.
That the priest who doesn't like you reads out of.
Wow. See, and I've never heard that perception that it's like, okay, yes, it's the Bible, but he's not talking to you. He's not talking to the righteousness of God. I've never heard it like that. So that makes it more alluring for me to actually want to read the Bible.
Oh, you know what?
Because they make it perceived to be as if it's such a scary thing. As if, oh, they're going to come, the plague's going to come, and everyone's going to get sick. And it's like, oh, why do I want to read that?
Well,
why
do I want to read that? You. It's not talking to you.
Mm.
It's talking to sinners.
Yeah.
I'm not a sinner. I don't practice sin. I'm not a sinner. Oh, you never do anything wrong? I didn't say that. I said I'm not a sinner. And you know what? Back in 2012, my wife and I decided we are no longer going to experience failure. I'm done. I'm done experiencing failure. No, I'm done with the failing thing. Done. I've done it enough. I'm done. It doesn't work. I don't like it. I'm not doing failing anymore.
Wow.
That's it. So now I have the realization, whatever I touch prospers. Whatever I touch turns to gold. You know how I know that? Because it's a promise given to me by him, by the Lord himself.
Yeah.
The King Midas touch, right? Which means blessed is the man who reads the word every day, meditates, giving place and thought, meditates on my word day and night, for he will be like a tree planted by a river. His leaf does not wither. His branches don't dry up. And everything he does will prosper. I'm like, I can do that. So I start doing that. And oh my God, everything I get involved with works. It's a miracle. No, it's not. It's just God saying what will happen if you do this.
Yeah. So do you believe in miracles?
Yeah.
Okay.
But God saying something and then it happening is not a miracle. You know what a miracle would be is? If a man told me he's going to do something and then actually does it. That's a miracle to me. Because men are not trustworthy. And women. Mankind. The species of man and women.
Yeah.
Right? Whoa, man. Whoa, man. So that's where we get woman from.
Oh, Lord.
Whoa, man. No, it's just when they say they're going to do something, they usually don't. So I'm not surprised. When someone does something that they said they were going to do, I'm amazed. Amazed at that.
Wow.
When God says he's going to do something and then does it, I'm not amazed. He's not a liar.
You're expecting it.
Of course I'm expecting it.
Yeah.
I live a life of expectancy. All the time. I'm driving to Philadelphia. I know we're going to get a spot in front of the place. I know we are. Why? Because he promised he would fulfill my every provision.
Wow.
You know what's weird?
Say that one more time.
He will provide for all my needs, wants, and desires based on his riches through Christ Jesus. And we know Jesus is rich in supply. So he provides for all my needs.
We should have recorded this visually, honestly.
Well,
we really should have.
We'll always do the video show. He will supply for my all my needs according to his riches in fullness, his fullness of riches through Jesus. Jesus is a king. How many kings do you know that are broke?
Mm.
Well, maybe there are a couple, but mine ain't. You know what he does with his gold? He paves the streets with it. Mm. I mean, he's so materialistic. What's he supposed to do? Mm. He's so rich. He has a gate made out of a solid pearl. What's he supposed to do? Right? Of course he's rich. Why would he want his kids rich?
Mm-hmm.
If you were rich, would you want your kid to be broke?
No, of course not.
Okay, but why is it okay? Why is it okay then for priests and pastors to say, it's not good to chase after money? I don't chase after money. Money chases after me.
Mm.
Oh, Frank, he has three cars. That's not right. Oh, until you need a car and I give you one, then I'm cool, right?
Wow.
Maybe it's your heart you need to look at, you selfish thing.
Mm.
Saying stuff, not you, but well, maybe it is. Yeah. I don't even know. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the Jesus that I serve. My Jesus I serve is very down to earth. He's very relatable and he's very cool.
Yeah.
And he's ultimate wisdom. Because he knows exactly what you go through every single day of your life. He can relate. He's been there 1,000 times or more, and he can relate. And he's the Prince of Peace. So that's why he says, cast your cares onto me because I care for you. Mm. Meaning cast. Like when you fish, you're casting a line. That thing goes out far. Cast that care that you worry about. Throw it to me because I know what to do with it.
Mm.
You shouldn't have to worry about stuff.
Wow.
Why? Because you belong to me, and I don't worry about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the daughter of a king and you got a visa bill, would you be worried?
Mm-mm.
No, you say, hey, Dad, I got a visa bill. He says, just leave it on the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll let the servants take care of it. Angels are servants. That's why I hate when someone calls, oh, you're an angel. Don't call me an angel. I'm above an angel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a son who chooses to serve. I'm not a servant. Mm-hmm. I'm a son who chooses to serve. Right? I'm not a child of God. I'm a son of God.
Mm.
Is a level of maturity. Like when my dad talks about me, he doesn't talk about his child, Frank. He talks about his son, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Not his child, Frank.
Yeah.
It indicates a level of maturity and knowing who I am and knowing who you are, you know. It's supposed to, even supposed to be... See what this just comes out. It just comes out.
I love it.
Spending hours and days and weeks and years with the Lord. This is the only thing I have that's valid of talking about.
And yeah.
This is the only thing of value I have to talk about.
Yeah.
I can tell you about tricks and business and tips and things like, who cares?
This is the most interesting part because I feel like people need to hear, especially like I said, I came from like a negative experience with a church. And since then I haven't returned to a church because of that reason.
And why should you?
I had the thought of going to another church. Mm-hmm. And then it's like that same thought comes up. Like I've been to a few churches since, like other churches with my friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I went back to that church because again, I was... my friend wanted me to be godmother to her daughter, which is amazing. But like I walk back in there and I'm like, I have an open heart. And then it's like the priest sees me and turns away from me. It's like,
what's the role of godmother? Do you know?
But,
you know, you do know your responsibilities as a godmother?
I know. Like,
well,
like
what? No,
so
tell me then.
If something happens to the mother, I kind of take over responsibilities, but I'm there for the child to help her grow, help her kind of be like a positive role model.
Stop.
Here we go.
So the role of a godmother, you know what? I'm so blessed to have the freedom to be able to speak into your life like this very abruptly. The role of a godmother or godfather is this. Yes, you're partly correct. If something happens to the biological parents, not only do you take over, but you have to ensure the people who are appointing you as godparents, you have to ensure that you'll raise them to the light, that you'll raise them to what the Word of God says that they should be. And then when they grow up, they won't depart from what they've learned. You're not forcing them to. You got to study the Bible. You got to go to church.
Them, yeah.
Who wants that? You show them the value behind following the Lord. You follow behind following God, behind following Jesus and his teachings. And now you're truly a God
mother
parent.
Yeah.
You're training them in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that comes from. It's not like, oh, now I'm that parent. Well, you're kind of, but there's more to it. That we always drop the God part, or we think about the horrible movie Godfather, where they're praying in church, and meanwhile he's having somebody whacked outside. You know. Mm-hmm. So now, are you this person's godmother?
Yes.
Okay. So this is good. How old is the kid?
She's not even one yet.
She's not even one yet.
Mm-mm.
So that way, every time they see Aunt Renee or Godmother Renee, they know something godly is going to come out of Renee.
Yeah. And that's so moving. It's so powerful. Like,
it's very powerful. It's a huge responsibility, but
it's so downplayed. And this is the one thing that I hate. Like, I don't hate it. It's just, it's challenging because it's like so many other people my age,
it's like everything with religion is downplayed. If you talk about God, it's kind of like, okay, we don't want to hear it.
I hate it.
Right? Like,
hate.
Because it's kind of as if it's being shoved down your throat, especially like, for example, what I've experienced with the church. You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't abide by his rules, not even God's rules.
No.
Look what happened.
You should come to our church. We have a church, me and my wife. We're planning a church right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Abiding Presence Church, APC. And what we do now is the last Wednesday of every month, we do a live Facebook Who's Your Daddy event.
Okay.
On our Facebook page. A live and you can watch the previous episodes on the website, ahistorywithgod.org, ahistorywithgod.org. And it's all free, and you can join us live from our house.
Okay.
You know, and then little by little, we have people come into the house that we're going to invite into, right to our house, our friends of ours, and we're going to start slowly building the church that way, and we're going to plant the church in Trenton.
I love it.
And then it'll be preaching like this, like what you
sold.
That kind of preach, that kind of preaching. If you don't know who you are, you'll never, ever, ever be fulfilled, because you'll always be filling that hole in your heart that's in the shape of God. You'll always be cramming other stuff in there to try and make that work.
Wow.
And it'll be filled, but it won't be full filled, because it'll be pieces missing and that's why you have to keep cramming more stuff in there, and then you feel like you're pseudo happy and you're really not.
Is that why they say like people always want more from life? Is because they don't have,
because they don't know God.
This is exciting.
I don't want more from life. I'm already getting more from life every day. I'm awake because I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not a wealth magnet.
You expect it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not a wealth magnet. I'm a wealth generator. I don't attract wealth. I generate wealth.
Yeah. I felt that.
You know what I'm saying? There's a big difference. They're both cool, but wealth generator is like, ooh.
Yeah.
This is even better. Because I want my friends, my entrepreneurs, my clients, my customers, I want them to produce, not so I get a good return on investment, but so that my investment into them, as far as ministering to them, see, I'm talented in what I do, so you're going to want to keep me around. So the fact that you keep me around and you can't replace me, you're going to hear about Jesus whether you like it or not.
So is that something with all your clients and entrepreneurs? Really? Wow.
My job, I was put on this planet to share what Jesus did for me in my life to get me where I am. That's it. That's why I'm here, and when I'm done, I'll go home. That's it. I'll go home. But here's the thing, Renee. It doesn't hurt being skilled at what you do so that you provide a worldly value. Now they don't want to get rid of you. Well, guess what? You won't hear about Jesus, and you can't fire me because you never hired me. I'll walk away from you. I don't pursue you. I don't pursue people. I don't pursue them. I don't.
So how is it when you're potentially working with clients? Like if someone just comes to you, do you automatically take it on, or do you kind of like size them up?
Well, first of all, I gotta agree with what they're even doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to do a porno website, I'm obviously not gonna, but I will talk to them about the Lord right then and there. I'm like, well, this one's closed. I gotta talk to this one right away because I ain't gonna see this person again probably. If they want to pursue this, I'm not gonna hang out with them.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if like I got this one client. Her husband's a dentist, and she helps her husband with his stuff. And they have this great thing that can help people with.
Really?
That's a great thing. For someone of faith like me, I don't need it, because I would just if I can't get it with my faith, I don't need it, right? But someone who's maybe down here with faith, God will give someone an idea to do something. Because they're not at that level of belief yet, and that's okay.
Yeah.
People grow at different rates. One day they won't need it, so they'll get the revelation. I mean, I don't need this. But until then, there's something they can use.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that can be applied for trap. Right? For trapeze.
Anything.
Hello.
Anything.
Wow.
Look, I don't go to doctors. First of all, if you're still practicing, I don't need you to practice on me. Okay? Get it right. And then I'll talk to you. Okay? So, number one. Number two, I'm not saying doctors are bad, but why do I need to... If I know I'm already healed, why do I need you? To write me some pills and, well, I don't know, man. I had a toothache. My buddy Alan got rid of it. This tooth here in the back, 3 years ago. 3 years ago. They said, you gotta have that pulled out. In 2 weeks, you're gonna be, forget it, you're gonna have problems with that tooth, and oh my God, it has to be hanging out right now. I'm like, yeah. My buddy Alan went, put his hands on me. In the name of Jesus, I pronounce this as being healed. Boom. I still have the same tooth that was supposed to be pulled years ago.
Wow.
So I'm not saying that symptoms don't try and come on me, right? I don't deny their existence. I just deny their right to me. You don't have a right on my body. You better go.
I had trouble breathing one day. My wife was like, well, you better figure it out because I ain't taking it in the emergency room. My wife, she makes me look like I'm sleeping. Are you kidding? So I share with people what Jesus did in my life. And the way I do it, for me personally, is I get in through what I do professionally. And I'm very good at what I do because God gave me that gift. I'm very good at everything I do. And as a result, I become invaluable to these people. And then I just talk to them about the Lord. We just become friends. And I go, so what's up with you? What's your story? And then we get personal. Mm-hmm. And then I lost this person and I have this diagnosis. And I'm like, really? I'm like, well, I know a doctor that can take care of that. They won't even charge you. He is the great physician, is he not? And like, really? I said, my big brother knows all about this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, and they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, I got an answer for you. And then I go, Lord, blah, 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 blah. And then the Lord will just give me the answer. And I say, oh, my brother just told me it's because of this and that. How did you know about that? I said, I didn't. My brother knew.
Uh-huh. That's like when we met at the other location. And you were telling me a story about Blockbuster. And I was like, how did you know? I was looking out of space.
Yeah, I didn't know. The Lord told me you were living in a space.
Yeah, that was very bizarre. I mean,
no, it's not bizarre. It'd be bizarre if it didn't happen. Yeah, see, I'm trying to change your mindset.
Yeah.
That's not bizarre. Yeah. That's normal. It's only bizarre because we don't experience things like that. Ooh, that's weird. No, you're weird.
Remember the drink? And I was like, sorcery!
Right, exactly. That's sorcery. Yeah. I just suggested to you, remember when I did this? And you went, yeah, that's weird. No, I just suggested and I nodded my head yes.
Yeah.
And I made you think something that wasn't true because your brain doesn't know the difference between reality and fantasy.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make a point.
So going back to that, right, the difference between reality and fantasy. So you were saying like the life you live is like a dream. So when you go to sleep, eventually, when you do go to sleep.
Yeah, I'm out on the second bounce.
Really? Oh. That's wonderful. So do you dream?
Yeah.
And can you tell the difference between the dream world when you're sleeping and reality?
I'm not crazy about dreams because dreams are just weird. Dreams, you know, it's like all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm falling off a cliff and then I'm in a parade, you know, it's just, they don't make any sense, but sometimes, you know, dreams are very vivid and I'm like, ooh, and I like that and it'll give me an idea for something. And but I don't put too much weight into it. It's just, my wife, she likes British murder shows. She just loves that. So sometimes she'll have something on while we're sleeping and I'll be dreaming about a woman getting hit by a train. And then I wake up and it's a woman getting hit by a train. I'm like, okay, well, that's obviously, well, yeah, but if I have a dream that's bothering me, maybe, I'll say, Lord, that dream really bothered me. Anything up with that? Should I be focusing on something? And he'll say, I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's something.
So is it just something you ask?
It's the pizza you had there last night, or, you know.
So it's something you ask, and you get the word right away. So you ask, just mention it.
I just say, like, Lord, what do you want to throw on me? You want, you know, what's
like
up today?
In regards to that dream, right? That one dream that's bothering you. Like you just said,
oh, okay. I apologize. I'm misunderstood. No, I'll say to the Lord, you know, Lord, I had this dream last night. Like he doesn't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm just conversing with him. I'm just like chatting with him.
Yeah.
I had this dream and it's like, you know, this happened. Is there anything that you're trying to tell me?
And you just get this knowingness.
Right? And sometimes he'll just say blatantly, yeah, I'm trying to let you know about such and such and such and such and give so-and-so a call and tell them this. And I'm like, oh, okay. Or sometimes I'll be like, he'll be like, no. And then sometimes he won't say anything. And I'm like, hello, you jump in anytime. Mm-hmm. You know, need a little guidance here.
Yeah. So. And I would say I appreciate that because I have so many dreams in the sense of, like, I get so confused as to what is awake reality and, like, sleep. Like, I get so caught up in my dreams.
Well, that's why you wake up sometimes you're sweating because your brain doesn't know the difference.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, I'm gone. Like, I go somewhere else, like, in my dreams. Like, it's the craziest thing. I appreciate everything you just said because in the sense of, like, I like mention it, like same thing you just said. You like, you mention the dream, and it's like whatever comes to you.
Yeah.
And that I get that. I mean, not only about my dreams, but about other things. I'm like, hey, can you give me some kind of guidance or something.
Sure.
And you know, what if I talk to a friend about it? I'm like, I label it as, oh, I'm crazy because I just get these things that come to me, blah blah blah. But it's like, you know, people look at me like, yeah, you are crazy, Renee. Like,
no,
how
just,
did you know to reverse the car because that other car was gonna come?
They don't think they're just jealous.
Yeah.
They are. Mm. In a very respectful way, I'm telling you. They're
how
just,
do you
jealous.
Deal with jealousy?
I don't.
Wait. So what do you do?
Anything. You gonna be jealous about me? Be jealous.
Ugh, I have to tell you, I have a roommate, and it's like, my roommate, it was so beautiful in the beginning. Like, she was in a really crummy situation. Like, she didn't even have, like, a real shower.
Right.
And she sent me a video of it and was discussing, like, Jess, I'm like, I'm not saying move in, but I have a room if you're interested.
Okay.
Long story short, she's in, and it's so nasty. Like, I don't even know she knows how nasty she's being. She's being nasty to my father, nasty to me. And, like, I have, and I prayed about it, and it's just like...
What did you pray?
Like, to help her figure it out. To help my roommate figure it out.
To have you help her?
I mean, I tried to help her and everything.
Like, No. You don't try to help her.
But see, this is the thing, Frank. I want to give up. Because it's every time I try to help, it just gets more disgusting.
What's your first name?
Jessica.
Jessica. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now I lift up Jessica to you. I don't know if she knows you. I don't know if she wants to know you, whatever. But here's the point, Lord. I want her to get a click in her heart, in her spirit, to say, you know what? I need more. I need more. And then you'll line up Renee right then and there and say, as soon as that happens, because... Renee, I just been thinking lately. I feel like I need more out of life. You know what? I just talked to my friend Frank, and I need you to listen to this episode. And then she'll hear us praying for her, and it'll be like, but she'll hear all the other stuff first, right?
Yeah.
And then she'll hear this, and then Lord, just prick her heart right there at that moment. Just prick her heart right there where she just calls out for you. She just screams out for you, Lord. Jesus. Yeah, not God. Jesus. That's right. Just calls out on the name of Jesus and then watch the transformation happen.
Really?
Mark my words, write this down. You will watch it happen.
But how would I get her to listen to it? Just
you say, hey, finally. Jess, listen to this. Let me know what you think. That's people it. Always want to know what you think, what they think.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? But here's the thing.
But she's so nasty right
okay,
now.
Okay, so let it be nasty.
So I do just send just her. Let, it
be,
na-
let it be nasty. Just pray for her.
Like, it is
just
so
just say,
unsettling.
Lift her up every morning. Stop being upset and start doing something about it. You're going to be upset or you're going to do something about it?
I have. Done something about it. I tried to talk to her about it, and it.
Did you lift her up to Jesus?
No.
Okay, then you haven't done anything. All right. So all that other stuff has been whatever. It's been nice. It's been whatever. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Lift her up to Jesus, and then watch what happens, because Jesus is a God of action and works. Like, you see stuff happen.
Mm.
Not like, well, I'm going to pray that the good spirits around you, and I'm going to pray to the universe. Like, listen, great, whatever. I need some action. I need some things done now. So pray to the universe and do your thing and throw salt over your shoulder and do all your stuff, okay? In the meantime, I'm going to get with the Lord, because I hear he actually does something about it. So... Whatever. Well, no disrespect to all those other beliefs. Fine. I go with what worked, what I see happen.
What you
That's
have experience
it.
Worked, yeah.
I have experience. I mean, I you can't take away what I experienced. Say whatever you want. This happened in my life. So I'm going to stick with this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a simple guy. You know, I stick with what works. Lord, in Jesus' name, prick Jessica's heart. Put Renee in front of Jessica so Renee can lead him back to who's your daddy in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all done. Now tomorrow say, thank you, Lord, for pricking her heart. Thank him before you see what you want.
Mm.
As if you've already seen it done. Thank him until you see it.
Yeah.
Aunt Renee, can you take me to Great Adventure? Sure. Thank you, Aunt Renee. We'll go next week. Okay, thank you, Aunt Renee. Next day. Aunt Renee, thank you for taking me to Great Adventure. She's thanking you for something you didn't even do yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, no problem. We're going next week. No, I just wanted to thank you. I love Great Adventure, and thank you so much for taking me. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. Thank you, Aunt Renee, for taking me to Great Adventure. Now the day comes, and a client calls you and needs you. What are you going to tell that client? I don't think so.
Goodbye.
I've been empowered to take my niece to Great Adventure.
Yeah.
Because of her thankfulness and her gratefulness, thanking me as if I already did it.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to let her down. Why? Because she built you up.
Yeah.
Same thing with God, if not more.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for pricking her heart and turning her to you, the Prince of Peace.
Thank you, Frank.
That's doing something.
Yeah.
I try. I have. I bled it. Please. You didn't do anything. Until you bring Jesus into it, you've done nothing.
I can't even have a conversation with her.
Yes, you can have a conversation with her. Stop speaking what you have and speak what you want.
Yeah.
I can have a conversation with Jess. I can walk into a room. She'll already know what I'm going to say. That's how close we are.
Mm.
She doesn't worry about anything. And let me tell you, if I'm ever feeling down, Jess, the one I go to, because she's listening right up.
Mm.
Start speaking what you want, not what you have.
Yeah.
Who cares about what you have? You don't even care about what you have.
I don't.
Speak what you want.
Yeah.
And damn that spirit that's affecting her to act ungodly and unkind. Damn that spirit.
tie that spirit up, bind that spirit in Jesus' name that's oppressing Jess. Spirit of oppression, I bind you in Jesus' name. Now, after you do that, now go in and start talking to Jess. But bind the spirit first in another room.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Mm. Now I'm excited to go home now.
Now the spirit's bound. Now go talk to Jess and now see how she talks to you. Because she'll unbind the spirit on her own.
Yeah.
She won't know it's tied up yet.
Yeah. I'm excited.
In Jesus' name, I bind that spirit of oppression. All right. All right. Lord, I'm doing this because this is what Frank said to do. So I'm going to trust you. Uh-huh. Okay. Hey, Jess, you want a cup of tea or something? Watch. Watch what happens.
I'm so excited.
I not only say it, I guarantee it. Mm. Watch. Or God's a liar. See, he likes when I put him on the spot. Because then it gives him an opportunity to shine. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any other questions? You said you had a whole bunch of questions for me. I'm still waiting.
I know. I did. I did have a whole bunch.
I know.
It's out the window.
Nothing.
Definitely. I'm excited to go home.
Well, this was fun.
Yeah, it definitely was. Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like it was more so about what was needed to be said, more so than any questions I could have came up with.
Who anyway. Are you?
Yeah.
It's the only question I want to know the answer to.
The righteousness of God.
That's the only question I don't know the answer to before I ask it. Mm. Who are you? If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then heaven declares you righteous.
Yeah.
And you are going to heaven when you leave this place.
So, so about like cursing, right? Okay, two things. So in regards to marking your body, right? Like tattoos, like permanent tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a no-no? Is that like, I've wanted to get a tattoo for years.
I'm a righteous cigar.
Okay.
Well, does that mean you have a license to sin? You're giving people a license to sin. Well, they've been sinning so long without a license. What good is a license going to do? I give them a license to be righteous. But if you understand the meaning of this tattoo, F and C, Frank and Chris, see the Superman shield?
Yeah.
That symbolizes our supernatural side, right? Mm-hmm. The wheat is prosperity. The horse out of water, the living water, Jesus. He's coming back on a horse, but my wife loves equestrian stuff. This is Greek for always. This is Hebrew for forever, which means God is forever and he always was. My wife is always, I'm forever. You got the three nails there. You got the boxing glove there, which is what I used to do. And you have the cross tying it all in. So what's the problem with this?
Nothing.
Now, if I want to put Beetlejuice on my chest, why am I doing that?
Yeah.
I don't know who I am. Mm. That's why I'm doing that. That's why I have four earrings, because I didn't know who I was.
Yeah. Wow.
So, well, what about this? Let me tell you something. Mm. Yeah, once in a while I curse. It doesn't make me any less the righteousness of God because I sinned, right? Any more than a sinner doing a righteous act makes them the righteousness of God. See my point?
Yeah, I got you.
Don't get caught up in stuff. Well, what if I cut somebody off on the road? Or what if I curse? What if I said the F word? I guess you're going to hell.
See ya.
You're telling me Jesus' blood wasn't big enough to cover you cursing?
Mm.
Really? Peter cursed. Peter! This loudmouth, 200-pound, big crybaby disciple, Peter, cursed. A number of times. I don't know that blankety blank Jesus. Get that blank away from me and you can fill in the blank. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What if I curse? I don't know. What happens if you curse? Well, you want for me.
Because, right, isn't that one of the commandments? Like, right? Like,
what?
Isn't that one of the commandments? Like,
again, you're telling me about commandments again. Where does it say do not curse?
I thought it's one of them.
Well, which one is it? You don't even know. Mm-mm. You're just saying stuff.
Mm.
You're not going to catch me. You're not going to stump me.
Yeah.
That's the law. You're not bound by the law. And here's the thing. When you love Jesus, when you really are in love with him, you're not going to want to do stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not going to want to. You're not going to care. I mean, look, I'll say this. This is Frank talking. This is not the Lord. My own stretch of the imagination. Sometimes it just needs a well-placed F-bomb. I mean, to just like, hey, blankety blanket, blankety blanket, and I love Jesus. Okay, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever, maybe you do. I don't know. All I know is that for me, the more I pursue Jesus, the less I want to do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The less I want to cheat somebody. The less I want to, you know, lie to somebody. The less I want to steal from someone. The less I want to manipulate a situation. The less because I'm so focused on him, he takes care. He has my back.
Mm.
Oh, what's that person doing? What is that person going to say? What's that person going to think? It used to be we were worried about what people might say. Now we're worried about what they might think. Like, oh no, what if they have a thought? If they have a thought about me, a thought.
Yeah.
Look, if you're thinking about me, I hope you're entertained. Okay. Really. If you're spending your time thinking about me, well, what would they think? Who cares? I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
I care what he thinks. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. Renee, Podcastia, I don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. I care what he thinks. I care about what my wife thinks. That's it. I couldn't care less what people think about me. Because if they're thinking about me, it tells me something about them. That they have nothing going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you completely.
In a combative way, I'm talking about thinking about something.
Yeah? Yeah. So do you feel as if your faith would be what it is without your wife? What was it? Joe was your friend, right?
Joe.
That brought you to Jesus and...
Yeah, it wouldn't be anywhere without him, and it wouldn't be anywhere without my wife.
Because
my wife has always been 10 feet ahead of me all the time when it comes to faith. Still is.
That's beautiful.
I'm constantly chasing her. After 21 years of marriage and being together since 86, I'm still chasing after her. Still chasing her. Still pursuing her. She's the prize. And that's what women, girls, ladies listening, you should be doing. Your boyfriend texts you, don't text him right back. Wait an hour. Let him earn it. Let him pursue you. You're the prize. Oh, my boyfriend called. I gotta call him right back. Why? Let him call you 5 times, then maybe get back to him later on. You're the prize. I tell girls that all the time. Women make it so easy for guys today. So easy. Make them work. Well, he has to drive an hour home. I want him to stay over because he has to drive an hour home. I don't care if he has to walk an hour home. He goes home. Bye. Slam. Lock. But that's not love. Oh, yes, it is. One is playing and one is commitment. It's rude. Well, then be rude. Or shut up. Then shut up about, oh, my boyfriend hurt me. Then shut up. You made it easy. You made it easy for him to hurt you.
Wow.
I don't have any sympathy for girls that I really don't. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. If you make it easy for your boyfriend, you're an idiot. That's it. You are the prize. As the girl, as the woman, the female, the lady, you're the prize. Men like to pursue. We like to hunt. If a deer came up to us and went, hey, shoot me, we'd be like, oh, I'm bored with hunting. They come right up to me. They beg me to shoot them. It's boring.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
We like to hunt. And God is like a guy. He likes to pursue. But he's also like a woman where he likes to be pursued. So he has his finger on Jess. He has his finger on her. He wants to, he's trying to pursue her, but he also wants to be pursued.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So excited.
God
for that.
Is so good.
You have no idea. I'm so excited.
And this
that,
is why I am the way I am.
Yeah.
I'm fantastic, wonderful. But I'm doing better. Fantastic is the worst I'll ever be doing. Hey, Frank, how you doing? Fantastic, but getting better.
Yeah. What was it? That one time I called you and you said that, and I was like, what?
I said that, and you were like, hey, I always got to be one up on you, I said.
Yeah, that's what you said, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, she's almost too happy without Jesus. I don't know how that works. Whatever.
Oh, so that's what that was.
Yeah. Little slipperoo there. Anyway, I got to go.
All right, hold on. One more thing. What are you most excited for in your life right now?
Jesus.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
Now, on a second level,
yeah.
Pursuing my wife with everything I have. And I'm very excited about what your business is all about and what you're doing as well. But I mean, ultimately, if I have one thing to say, I'm excited about Jesus and just seeing how much more I'm going to know him tomorrow.
Yeah, I love that because when people listen to this, it's like everyone else, you get their different take, right? Their different lifestyle, what they're excited for in their life right now. And yours was the one word answer.
Jesus. And I hate religion. I hate religion. If there was one thing Jesus hated when he was on this earth, it was religion. Because religion comes from the Greek word religios, which means return to bondage. And that's what religion does. It binds people up with all this shite. Was that sort of like a curse? It's like cursing, like low-fat cursing. Shite, okay? So you're saving calories already. See, you're getting thinner listening to this podcast.
Oh, Lord, I can't.
It's a bunch of shite. It really is. It's a bunch of garbage, religion. I'm about relationship. That's what I'm about. I have a relationship with him. It's not religious. Ugh, religious. It's a man-made crap. It stinks. It's horrible. It's worthless. It's not God, and it sucks. It's death.
I can see that. So once someone has a good relationship with Jesus, with God, then all the other relationships will follow.
What's good? If you have a relationship with him,
yeah,
you're good.
Okay.
You're good. You don't have to worry.
Okay.
You don't have to worry. How am I going to pay this phone bill? Oh, what? Jesus can't handle a phone bill? That's the one thing he missed on that cross is your phone bill. But they're going to shut it off. Good. Maybe you need it shut off. How's that?
There you go.
Maybe you just need it shut off. Who are you texting at 6:30 in the morning in your car? Who needs to hear from you at 6:30 in the morning?
Or 3:30 in the morning.
Or really, whatever. Really. Honestly, you want to be honest. What did we do in the 80s? We had pay phones that we would call collect, and we would let it ring once and hang up. That meant I'm home.
Really?
Who's this? I got to text my... Shut up. Put the phone down. Mm. No one really needs to hear from you that badly. I got news for you. You're not the most important person on the planet. You're not. Unless you're my wife. You're not.
In a different story, yeah.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you.
Podcast. I really appreciate it.
I had a lot of fun.
I really appreciate like every engagement we've had, communication-wise and everything. Everything even going forward. So thank you.
You're going to be very, very rich.
Thank you. But this podcast changed my life, so thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. But I'm telling you, you're going to be very, very rich. Very, very rich.
Thank you.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a godly thing because he's rich. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Renee Rome's Radio Podcast out.
You've been listening to Renee Rome's Radio with Renee Roman. Visit us online at reneeromesradio.com today.